Go ahead and sit down. We got a quick tithing message for you. Got a video. Go ahead and drop the screen. Some of you guys still feel like singing and shouting just a little bit. Well, you can do that during the sermon, too. Some of you guys just, is my microphone on? Because I don't feel like you guys are hearing what I'm saying to you. You need to just get out away from yourself and get involved in what God's doing. You need to get involved in what God's doing. You need prayer time at your house, Bible reading and celebrating in those praise things. So when Keelan was telling you about doing worship together, we do that. We listen to praise music. We celebrate. If you're saved, you ought to be celebrating. I mean, I don't why you wait till Sunday just to worship. You need to crank some good. I'm talking about when you turn on gospel music, turn on some gospel music that's thumping. Turn on something. I want something that's gonna shake the windows at my house. Like she said, you guys dial in Tasha Cobbs when you get to your house and turn that on. That's some good stuff right there. Amen. Philippians 4:8. So talking about one of the Bible studies me and my wife are doing is on getting the negative thoughts out of your head. It's called something like toxic something or other. So how do you get there? So the way this toxic means to be poison. You lock it up in the cabinet. So the kids don't get it, grandkids don't get it. You don't want anybody to get it because it's poison, because sometimes it could kill you immediately. Sometimes things that are toxic is kind of a slow death. But death nonetheless, because it's poisonous. Negative thoughts can turn into toxic, a toxic spirit, toxic behavior. So what do you think about? You think about these things. The Apostle Paul tells you to think about. You have 60 to 80,000 thoughts that go through your mind in a day, 2,500 to 3,300 per hour. And I just wonder, between 2,500 to 3,300, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? You thinking about Christ? You thinking about Facebook? You thinking about the dirt on somebody else? What are you thinking about? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us this list of things to think about in 4:8. We'll do some of them. And I think, I don't know how many there is in here, but there's at least 7 I know of. Here's what he says. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. He tells you to focus on the things that are true. So we live in a world of absolutes, contrary to popular belief. We live in a world, it's either right or wrong, and it's either true or false. It's either right or wrong, or it's true or it's false. And the way you test that and you gauge that is with God's word. Just because it's on TV doesn't mean that it's true. Just because you Googled it doesn't mean that it's true. Somebody needs to give me some applause on that. There's people that leave the church go, I Googled it, man. So what? Just because you Googled it doesn't mean that it's true. Everybody believes that something's true that's really not. Whatever's true, think about those things. Whatever things are honorable, he says to think about those things. Honorable, noble, what a concept. Whatever is just, whatever is pure. I thought about this. So I was trying to think of a real good, something, a visual to think about what is pure. So I sent my wife this. I was studying yesterday. I was at the bunkhouse at the farm, and I was looking out through over my desk, and I was looking out the window, and the whole farm is just laden with snow everywhere you look. And it is so pure and so clean and so beautiful. So watch this. Instead of thinking on all the junk in the world, think about something like that. That's what he's telling you to think about. And Justin. So he says, think about the things that are pure. He said, think about the things that are lovely. And what my daughter was saying is that is truly cool to think about that. And I just so love when she's in the Bible study room and there on a piano playing her praise songs and practicing her praise song. I said, God, man, that is so awesome. It's so lovely that she does that and everything. He said, well, why don't you go in there and sing with her? And when we sing together in the Lord in that Bible study room late at night, I don't think there's got to be anything more lovely to the Lord than his children singing to him. And some of these things I'm going to be talking about today in church are not just for me and my family. They're for all you guys. I want you to know that. I'm just kind of trying to bring you stuff in real time so you can relate to it and go, yeah, that's true. That really did happen. So be thinking about these things. And then he goes on, and I'll kind of shorten this up. Whatever's commendable, if anything is excellent, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And then he says, after that, he tells you to put these in practice. So, Father God, today we want to put these things in practice. Steer away from our stinking thinking. Steer away from things that are toxic. People that are toxic. People that are trying to drag us down in 2020, Lord, we can't take them with us in 2021. As much as we love them, as much as we care for them, as many times as we prayed for them, Lord God, there's got to be a time when we have severed the ties. Let this be this day for their benefit and for our benefit. And Father God, today, we ask you to bless the offering, the first of the year. Bring your first, bring your best. And pray this in thy name of Jesus. Amen. So applaud the Lord. Turn down the house lights and let's roll the video.
What if you got the opportunity to start over? To go back. To learn from every mistake. To scrape every lesson from your past. And start with a clean slate. What would you do differently? What lessons have you learned in your past? And how would you apply them if you could start over? What if you had another opportunity to do better, to be better? Would you take it? You get that opportunity every day. We all get that opportunity every day. It's called waking up. Every day you wake up is a blessing, and you should never take that blessing for granted. You can choose to start over. You can choose today to do better. You can choose to live with a clean slate, which means you let go of your past and focus on now, right now. What are you going to do right now to create a better future for yourself? What plans are you going to make now for today and in the future to ensure this new version of you is better than the last? Will your future self be proud of you? Will your tomorrow self be proud of you by the work you do today, by the person you are today? You have to earn that future pride. If you're not putting in the work today, your future will pay the price. Let go of who you were. If you don't, you'll never know who you truly can be. Let go of who you were and focus on who you will become.
Every morning you wake up, remind yourself that you have another opportunity to experience your greatest day. Another opportunity to push yourself. Another opportunity to set an example. Another opportunity to learn something that will make you better. Another opportunity to enjoy the day, to enjoy other people, to enjoy life. You are blessed to get the opportunity of life. Make the most of it.
Create the best version of you. Start today.
All right, I'm back with you. Amen. So, turn with me into Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We're going to read the story. I don't want to give it all away, so we'll kind of get into it. But you know what? There's something that 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about that could be the most or the most important redo of all time, and that is giving your life to Jesus. He says, I'm going to paraphrase it, all who have given their life to the Lord become new creatures. And so what does that mean? That means that the old man can't come up into 2021. There's no use for him. If there's no use for him, we have to leave him back in 2020 and start with a clean slate today. That's basically what the story's about in Acts chapter 3. It starts out and says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. So they were going to church like all people go to church. And here's the message before the message. I don't want you to get stuck like Chuck in some of your old habits. If your wife moves your recliner 3 or 4 inches away from the end table, it was because she was trying to clean behind there. Amen. You know if the chair has been moved. Look at your husband. I could tell. I got this place where I sit and I read my Bible. It needs to be replaced. It needs to be replaced. That old couch you got, man, that's a mess. I can tell if it's been moved or if my dining room table has been moved. I went by the last night when I got home from church and we were all sitting down, we were getting ready to eat. And I said, the dining room table has been moved this way about 6 to 7 inches. Wow. And that's just enough to do me in right there. Something so, the reason I'm telling you all these funnies is because you're seriously comfortable where you're at right now. Some people want to shout and say something, but they don't want to because they're embarrassed. So that's what this is about here, is coming out of your shell and letting God do a redo in your life. And watch this, in every area. Every area. Even in your church attendance. So they're going up to the temple. In verse 2 it says, and a man lame from birth was being carried. I want to talk about this for just a second. He was lame, so I'm assuming, according to the story, that he's lame in his legs and he wasn't able to walk. And we know some friends that can't walk in these different things. So this story here says that he was used to be being carried to that place. Now, this particular gentleman here assumed that his job and his only job would always be if somebody would set him at this gate that is called Beautiful. He said, somebody would carry me there, drop me off there while they went into the temple, and I would sit out here, Steve, and beg while you all went into church. And I'm wondering, God revealed this to me last night, I wonder if anybody ever invited this guy into their church. I mean, why does he got to sit outside? You all are in church. Why didn't he have a cup of coffee in his hand? And you say, basically, it's because nobody bought him one. We as human beings sometimes, not you guys, but other people go to other churches. Sometimes we don't mind if our friends stay the same and we get a leg up. We don't mind if they stay the same as long as we're on the come up and we get the raise. Here's the deal. The beggars, the lame, the people without the coffee, let's take care of them first. And then maybe God would reward our faithfulness. Don't give me a sympathy clap either. Amen. Thank you, Hitman. Listen to this. Before the service, my daughter was like, man, I hope the Hitman comes to this service here. Liven this place up a little bit. It's okay to have a service that's lively. It's okay. If you're coming here, you might as well just worship. That's all I can tell you. You save the quiet stuff for the library. So he's sitting there, and you have friends like that, and maybe let me throw this in, not to wreck theology or anything, but maybe after a while, when we see our friends in this condition, we quit praying for them because we just think that they're going to be like this forever. And here's the deal. They probably will if you and your prayer team don't get together. I said they probably will be if you and your prayer team don't get together.
Amen.
Don't quit praying for somebody. Don't ever quit praying for somebody that needs prayer. So he's at this beautiful gate, and this gate's, 60 foot wide, 30 foot tall, and then he's there to ask for alms or ask for money to those who are entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. See, what he's expecting is the crumbs of life. Here's what I thought of when I heard this story again. Instead of, I said this last night, instead of us begging that we get enough money for a room for the night, why not pray to God that we get the money to own the hotel who has the rooms at night? What, I can't. I watch this. Look at me in real time. I can't tell you how many people through 20-something years this church has helped out, whether it was this, that, or the other. And when some people come, they say, we just need enough money for a room for the evening. But what would happen if you got with them and say, man, I want to start praying that God will give you a house. I said, I want to start praying that God will give you a house. So let me give you some real-time stuff here so you can relate to it. And if you heard the story, it's good. It's better the second time. My daughter was going to this great college down in Tennessee. It's a great Christian college, wonderful college, and they're great people and everything. And she got down there, and you can get kind of comfortable in a college because your stuff's there. And I don't know how it works. I never was in a college. So, but she then the other college that we really wanted her to go to called her while she was going to this college. But we really wanted that college. You ever just follow me, even if you don't understand the story. And so he's kind of praying and hoping that would happen one day. But then after a while, the college called and said, we got an opening for you. And all expenses are paid. Hold on now, we're comfortable. Dad, she came in and told me, I was in the Bible study room. She said, Dad, they came with an offer, but I'm already... Come on with me. Well, I'm already down here, and my stuff's down here. And if we found a church down there, and in order for me to leave here, me and Mom would like have to go get my stuff. Nothing worse than having to go get your stuff. So, me being a dude, here's what I said. I said, leave all the stuff. That's what I said. I said it three or four. And they go, Dad, there's a refrigerator down there. I said, I don't care. Leave it all there. Give it to somebody. But she said, I want to say goodbye to all the people at my church. Well, in the midst of this, she didn't take the offer. And then after about a week, we talked to some different people. And they said, man, you probably ought to take that deal. It's pretty dang good if they'll take you back. I mean, it's been a week. And she called back there and she said, man, if there's still an opening, we'll take it. And they said, guess what? There's still an opening and you can have it. Amen. So that's just one of the stories. So, and I want you to know, apply them to your life. They can happen to your life if they're not already happening to your life. And then what I want you to do, Daddy-O, is get used to God working like that in your life. Just get used to it. And I'll drop another story on you here in just a second. We'll do all kind of real-time stuff. So Peter, verse 4, said, Peter directed his gaze into him as John did and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive. He was expecting to receive some crumbs, really. Something from them, but Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and he raised him up. Another story. Oh, well, rising up, I don't know if they could really heal him. He still do healing. He still does healing, Diane, all the time. Ask me to tell you a story, and I will. Well, I'm going to. So we have some friends here that go to this church, and they said, hey, Pastor, we're in a predicament. We need a vehicle. We need a good vehicle. We need a truck. And I woke up the other day before we went to a rodeo, and I told my wife, this guy down here that owns this arena we're roping at has a truck. What a concept. You was with me. Real time. And I said, hey, do you still got that truck? He said, yeah. And I just went down. He's a Christian. And the people that needed the truck were Christians. And they go to this church. And I was down there and I said, can I drive that truck? He said, yeah, keys are in. Drive it down south. They just leave keys and everything. just drive. And I said, I drove it up straight, drove it back. I said, I think we'll take that truck. He said, well, take it home with you. He said, have them write me a check. These guys got the truck. I delivered to them last night right here in this church. Hold on. This stuff happens all the time when you let God work in your life. So when you go, oh, man, if this stuff isn't happening in your life, get on your knees and ask God to reveal all these wonderful these hidden little things everywhere, and you go, man, I wish God would work in my life. Then what you have to do is you'll have to do a redo in your life, whatever you was doing. And let me tell you about the toxic people that are in your circle. Close your eyes and just like with your finger, close your eyes so nobody can see you. Draw a circle and figure out who's in there with your family. And all them people that are toxic, here's the deal. You or your family members, well, you got to move one or two out of there because they're starting to poison your spirit. Don't get mad. You're not mad at family members. We're not leaving or anything like this. We just can't use you for where I'm going anymore. I'm going with people that are like-minded. I'm putting together a dream team that can help me accomplish my goal. So I'm not going to stay busted. I'm not going to stay disgusted and all that. I'm going to move on and move up. Oh boy. Well. Before I get back to it, a guy last night, after I got done with the message, we were taking the Lord's Supper, and as you guys will be here shortly, he came up and he brought me a gold coin, and it's the Lord's Supper. It's got Jesus on the front, and the people gathered around the table, and they were celebrating the Lord's. So I said, I'm going to use this coin in my message to tell everybody about the importance of the Lord's Supper. And what it reminds us of the body that was broken and the blood that was shed. And when you receive that and take that onto yourself, you remember the power that you all have in Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's just, it's just another way to, it's a reminder, Big Steve. And it's also, watch this, it's also a time when I can do inventory and I go, hey, you know what? I'm getting ready to approach the Lord's table. I need to make sure all this is right in here. Here's what that doesn't mean. You guys don't do it, but they do it at other churches. When somebody else approaches the Lord's table, and you know they was doing something, and not you guys, but other people, and you go, man, I wonder why he's up there taking the Lord's Supper. Here's the deal: God doesn't want you to worry about that person that's taking the Lord's Supper. He wants you, hold on for a second. He wants to make sure that you're worried about yourself, and if. In the redo, Steve, in the redo, I ain't worried about somebody else's dirt. I said in the redo, I'm not worried about somebody else's dirt. I'm worried about my own thing. I got enough whirling around here. Amen. Peter said he doesn't have no silver or gold. He takes him by the right hand. And there's something very important that I want you to hold on to here in just a second. His feet and his ankles were made strong, so that means he jumped up in verse 8, and leaping, he stood and began to walk. So all of a sudden, he jumps to his feet, and he starts to walk. And then here's the deal. What I believe why this healing was so incredible is he never questioned God when he got on his own two feet. Sometimes after God has healed us or God has fixed us and we're really healthy, if you've been like through COVID before and you really made it, some of you guys, me included, my family, you get through COVID, there'll be a naysayer that will come up in a matter of days and go, hey, you know what? I heard that can like still come back. I was like, well, thank you, man. That's awesome. Yeah, thank you. All right, here you go, baby. Woo, we're ready to go today. Amen? Hold on. Maybe in their spirit, it's odd that God healed you. And then they try to drag you back into that sickness again, go, you know what? God healed me. I'm praising him, and I need to get away from you. That was a revelation I got. Amen. I got it. You're toxic to me. And by the way, pop a Tic Tac because your breath stinks. I'm saying what's on my mind right now. Somebody got to deal with it in this church. You're like, you know what? By the way, you got bad breath anyways. Does that make you feel better? It does me. Thanks for the therapy session, everybody. Why do I always want to do that? It's the flesh. So he tells him to get up and walk. He leaps. Now watch this. So he's leaping. He's praying. Verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. All of a sudden, he's in your church. He's in your church. He's walking up. He's in your church. Everybody's looking around. Isn't that the guy outside that's a beggar? Beggar. I don't know. We let beggars in. Well, they let you in. It must be beggar. I used to put that on a sign just to fry people's mind. Because everybody was looking for the mature church. They were looking for the perfect church. I said, here's the deal. It ain't going to be perfect when you show up. I put on the marquee, if you're looking for the perfect church, keep on driving. You'll figure it out in a minute. All right, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate, verse 10, asking for alms, and they were alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him while he clung to Peter and John. So here's the key. He clung to Peter and John. Say that with me. He clung to Peter and John. Why did he cling to them? Because they were the ones that laid hands on him or whatever and healed him. He clung to them. Whoever brought you to the Lord, you want to cling to them because they're good people. Amen. Story time. You've heard this before, but it's good for this purpose. When me and Vicki first got saved and we were at a Bible study at a little Baptist church up the street, and we never really did anything correct, so we messed up the Bible study too. We was 30, about 35, and we were supposed to be in the group. Do this with me. We were supposed to be in the group with 35-year-olds. I mean, and there was people walking around with clipboards making sure you were in the right place. We wasn't. We was with the 90 and above. 90 and above, only Baptist people. 90 and above, you'll be with the 90 and above people. And then the superintendent came up to us and they said, man, would you like to be with some people downstairs that are your age? We go, nope, we're just going to stay right here. And the reason, it's true, I'm just telling you, the reason we stayed with them is because we had a relationship with them. Not with the tall hair or anything, but just they loved Jesus and so did we. So if you're around somebody that led you to the Lord and you don't have anything in common but Jesus, it's okay. So tell the people in church it'll be okay, all right, amen. I just wanted to tell you that you got a permission slip now. Hey, I could go on, but I'm not going to. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter and Saul, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as through our own power and piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate." Listen to this. "And when he had decided to release him, you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you." So as Pilate was there, they had each year they released a certain prisoner. They got Jesus there, and then they got this prisoner there. And he had Pilate ask everybody that's out there, they wanted Jesus bad. They didn't know why they wanted him bad, they just wanted him. "Do you want me to release Jesus? Or do you want me to release this criminal?" "We want the criminal." Sounds like today, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, hold on for a second. I know everybody's going political here, and you can. Do we want the truth, or do we want a lie? Do we want Jesus, or do we want evil? The decision is that simple. But you know what they did? We need to change this in 2021. They said, "Release Barabbas." And he said, "Well, what do you want me to do with Jesus?" "Crucify him." And then they called down a curse on themselves. And they said, "Let the blood be on us and our children." Now, it sounds strong, doesn't it? Here's the deal. There are families that live in this church that are living under a curse, because they have denied the faith of Jesus Christ and refused to be obedient to him and his word. Amen. And not necessarily call down curses on their children on purpose, but they say, "Well, I guess that's the way it'll be for him the rest of his life." No, it won't. Not if you and your family get together and pray about it.
Amen.
Not if you get the church involved to pray about it. Here's what I said in real time, and I mean this. My God don't love me and my family any more than he loves you guys at all. All through the Bible. He don't love the people in the Bible more than he loves you. He wants all this stuff for you because he says it in his word. Remember, his word is for right now. You won't need the word of God when you get to heaven because he'll be standing in front of you. God's got a special plan for you. He's got a special plan for your children. So to hear the rest of it, I want to ask you to rise with me. And I'll ask my brother Mike to come up. Mike Neese will be coming up. And I want you to just listen to this. We can drop the house lights down there just a little bit, Jackie, if you would. And Mike's going to be strumming just a little bit. And so we've released the murderer and all this kind of stuff. And then he says, he uses some strong language here in 15. He said, "You killed the author of life." Senior, how would you like to have that hanging around your neck? You killed the author of life? You killed him. Hey, here, and I'm just going to put this in. So I wonder if every time we sin, we're nailing back up to the cross. In a sense, we are. I mean, he's already died one time and our sins are forgiven. But when you sin and I sin, that's why he went to the cross. So if you sin today or sin tomorrow, that's why he was nailed on the cross. And you say, "Well, I thought he was down off the cross." Yes, his mission has been completed, but that doesn't mean just because we're living under the new covenant, we should go out and sin and not worry about ramifications of sin. He still had to pour out all his blood for that. I'm just getting lubed up here, that's all. So I never think about that. You go, "Well, in the sin that you'll commit tomorrow." And I don't know for sure that you'll sin. Really, you can look at each other and go, "The reason I sin is because I like to." I'll just tell you before, we'll do a little funny and we'll get a little more serious here in a second. I was just talking to people in the back row when I was walking out to my office in between services, and I told them we were all talking about how much we've been eating all winter long and the holidays and everything. "Yeah, well, I'm glad that's behind. Whew. We're not going to eat any more cookies and candy. That's for dang sure. We're over it, me and Kibby. We're over it. We're going to get buff." buff. And then I walk out in the hallway, and Karen and Ed Gaynor are there. They go, here you go, here's a bag of goodies. What did I do? I went in the office, drank the coffee, ate the cookies. You go, man, this guy's getting so real. I love this church. But I don't want to deny God. So as I get ready to approach the Lord's table, or you get ready to approach the Lord's table, does anybody feel God moving in here? Just like he's on somebody. It's getting sticky in here, isn't it? That's what the Holy Spirit does, Chef. It gets sticky. Sticky. Sticks on you. Don't try to rub it off like, man, I want to get out of here or something. I might end up at the altar with everybody and weirdos. The only weirdos are those who don't come when the Lord calls you. That's weird. You can applaud there. That would be a place where I'd applaud. Weird. Church people are weird. Full of hypocrites. Hypocrites. I told you the Walmart has hypocrites. You still go there. So here's the remedy to fix the whole world in the redo, Dr. D. Here it is. Verse 19. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. Hold on for a second. Watch this. That they'll be blotted out. Donna, that times of refreshing may come. I'd like to be refreshed when you walked out of church. Go, you know what, man? I am laying my act down. Really, that's what it is. When you're not being honest with God, it's a big act. It's a big production. Big production. Hallelujah, Lord. Is that the way it is the other 6 days of the week too? Are y'all shouting and reading your Bibles and praising the Lord and doing devotionals and being kind to one another? That, I'm just throwing it out there. Let me pray for you today. Wouldn't you like the times of refreshing to come in your life? Wouldn't you like to be born again? I'm just talking to somebody today. I might be here for a while. Refreshing. Wouldn't you like to be refreshed in your spirit today? Wouldn't you like to ask God into your life? How about this? I'll just do this and just throw this on you. Wouldn't you like to invite God into 2021? If you want to invite God into 2021, come on down. Just come on down here. And somebody can kneel right next to the hitman right here. Come on up here. Come on. Right there. I want to invite God into 2021. Come on. Come on. Come on down here. Don't be afraid.
Come on, church.
Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's
Get
pray.
A piece of it.
Come on. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we move into 2021, we want to pray that the abundant power of the Holy Spirit would come on all our lives. We pray for our children. We pray for our grandchildren. We pray for the Lord's Supper. We pray for this church and the churches abroad. We pray for the country. We pray for the political landscape. We pray for the officials, local and federal and everybody in between. Lord God, that they would follow you, they would listen to you, Father God, and that they would uphold those standards, not try to drop the bar, but raise it up. Raise up a standard, Lord God, and then we will be raised up to meet that standard. And we pray all this in 2021 in thy holy name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen.